Thank you, dear Prem and dear listeners. Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam, the most happening place on the planet. Yes, it is always the most happening place on the planet, because what happens in Prashantinilayam cannot and does not happen anywhere else. Because what is there in Prashantinilayam is the infinite reservoir of pure love, is the colossus of the presence of the all-pervasive one. I remember speaking to a devotee from Germany sometime a year or two ago, and when I asked him what pulls him to Prashantinilayam now, he said, on earlier visits to Prashantinilayam, when I wanted to touch the feet of Bhagwan, I had to wait for 10 days, sometimes a month, and I would not many times get the opportunity to have Pada Namaskar. But now, He is so gracious. Every day when I go and bow down at the Samadhi and place myself on those white marble, I know I am getting a Pada Namaskar. I know I am touching His feet. Every day I get a Pada Namaskar, and every day it recharges me. A devotee from United Kingdom, a youngster, whenever she comes to Prashantinilayam, she longs to be here for 15 days, 1 month. And she told me how for her the Samadhi is just a very, very powerful source. For her, that Samadhi is the place where continuously very powerful vibrations are emanating. It is the place which is a sort of a spiritual volcano which gives out, oozes out pure love, and it touches everyone. It submerges everyone, goes near it. And this happens only in Prashantinilayam. And that is the reason why Prashantinilayam is the most happening place on the planet. I remember that is, it is not a Samadhi. I remember Mr. Nimish Pandya on the day of the first Aradhana day, he mentioned that it is a breathing Samadhi. And now we call it Sannidhi. Very rightly, it is in the proximity. We are in the proximity of that concretization of infinite love. The Aradhana ceremony is over. The month of April is coming to an end. Today is April 30th, 2015. And tomorrow will begin the holy month of May. It is the sacred month because it is the month when we have the opportunity to witness, to observe, and to commemorate the life of the one like whom there is none. Yes. Like whom there is none in this yuga, in this era. In the historic discourse that Bhagwan gave in Mumbai on the occasion of the first World Conference of Satya Sai Organizations on 17th of May 1968, Swami said, rather he announced, this is a human form in which every divine entity, every divine principle, that is to say, all the names and forms ascribed by man to God are manifest. Swami added, you are very fortunate that you have a chance to experience the bliss of the vision of the Sarva Deva Atita Swarupa, the form that is all forms of gods, who is beyond all the forms of gods, Sarva Deva Atita Swarupa. Swami said, you have the chance to experience the bliss of the vision of that Lord now in this life itself. God comes down in human form once in a millennium. And those who are his contemporaries are truly blessed. But imagine the great good fortune of the soul whom God selects as the mother of his incarnation. It happens only to one individual in an entire age, such as it happened to Kausalya in the days of Rama, Devaki during Treta Yuga, Mary in more recent times, and Ishwaram during the Satya Sai Avatar. Swami once said, it is because Kausalya bore him in the womb that Rama shone forth as God. It is because a Putli Bai fostered him that Gandhiji became famous as Mahatma. It is because the chaste Ishwaramma brought him up with love and affection that Satya Narayana earned name and fame. Swami said, the mother was a confluence of those noble virtues for which Indian women have been revered for centuries. She was an outstanding example of purity and love for the Lord, just like the divine mothers of yore. Every devotee craves for God's love. But in some very special cases, the Lord craves for the love of an individual. Ishwaramma is one such blessed one. The story of how the incarnation slowly and subtly chiseled her being through a soothing smile, a piercing look, a cutting remark, or an intriguing interaction, until bit by bit all traces of maternal attachment fell away, leaving her simmering like a radiant star in the ever-expanding galaxy of the Sai family, steering fellow devotees to his feet. All these stories are absolutely ennobling, enriching and enlightening. And it is these anecdotes and these slices of his glory that we should ruminate on as we prepare ourselves to observe Ishwaramma Day on May 6th. And that is what I pray to Bhagwan that we do in this last segment of Thursday Live, coming to you straight from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and the time in the studios now is 8:47. And today, as I just mentioned, we discuss about the one and the first among the chosen ones, Mother Ishwaramma. Her biggest and enduring difficulty was that of acceptance. Acceptance of the celestial nature of her little boy who came into her life with a big master plan. And like it would happen to any mother, she was torn between her maternal instinct to protect and nurture her darling Satya and the inevitable need to let go. Let go when Bhagwan declared his mission. Eventually, she accepted his divinity and became his devotee for life, receiving his benedictions. Yet, in her role as the mother, she spurred His compassion for mankind into tangible acts of philanthropy. When you look at her life, in retrospect, few women have influenced the destiny of this planet as silently and as significantly as this great mother did. Swami, as a child, as Satya, was Mitabhashi and Mitahari, one who spoke little and ate little. And Ishwaramma was mystified by the strange behavior of her son. Usually children are fond of eating, but her son was totally averse to food, especially non-vegetarian fare. Satya would not even visit the houses where non-vegetarian food was cooked. And his indifferent to the world attitude extended not only to food but to clothes as well. Whenever clothes for the family were brought from Hindupur or Anantpur, little Satya always sat aloof until the other children had taken their pick and then accepted whatever was left behind. And in vain would the mother try to get him to confide his choice to her, but of no avail. Swami's response would always be, "I don't need anything. Whatever you give me, I will accept. That is enough for me." And years later, Mother Ishwaramma would recount, "This was something I could not understand. What made him so deeply sober and serious?" And she says, "At last I began to wonder whether the label Brahma Jnani, that is, the realized soul that the village elders had stuck on him, and which I thought was a mockery, was indeed a tribute after all." This is what later Mother Ishwaramma reflected. And the poor mother could only wring her hands in despair as the visitations of withdrawal in her son became increasingly frequent. Anguish renting her heart, she watched the slow but sure transformation of her little Satya into Sai Baba. In fact, Bhagwan once captured Mother Ishwaramma's conundrum when he narrated a poignant incident from his childhood. Swami said, "When this body was 12 years old, I was in Subbamma's house. I asked her to stitch a long gown for me. Subbamma did not like it. She said, 'Why do you want to wear a gown, Swami? Wear a gown. You can wear a dhoti.' And Satya then replied, 'No, the time has come to do it.' Subbamma obeyed Swami's command and stitched a gown. At that time it cost 2 anas. Swami says, "When I put on this dress," Subbamma asked Ishwaramma to come to her house to see Satya. And when the mother came, she saw Bhagwan in that gown and she started shedding tears. She said, "Did you call me here for seeing this form of yours?" And Satya then told her, "Don't grieve. I am setting an ideal for the whole world. When one wears the ochre robes, one's evil desires will vanish." This is what Swami told Mother Ishwaramma, preparing her for what was to come. This happened when Bhagwan was 12 years old. So being a mother to such a unique child proved to be a baffling experience for Mother Ishwaramma, one she would have to grapple with for decades to come. Despite her son's growing fame and stature as God, the mother in Ishwaramma only saw that little Satya in Sai. And in the later years, we have heard from Bhagwan himself talk about the mother. And there have been so many occasions when students have performed songs and burakathas. Burakathas are the traditional form of folk music. In the Andhra tradition, students have performed these burakathas on Mother Ishwaramma. And one of them who has had the chance to participate in these burakathas is Arvind Sai. There are 3 participants in a burakatha, and he is one of them who had the chance to do more than 18 burakathas. And There was one on Ishwaramma, and he's someone who has had a lot of interaction with Swami. When Bhagwan has mentioned about Ishwaramma, when they had the chance to see Bhagwan's reaction when Mother Ishwaramma was mentioned, and when Bhagwan talked about the divine legacy, the divine legend to which Mother Ishwaramma belongs, and the concern that she had for the Lord. Every bit of this story, as I mentioned before, is very, very ennobling. Let me play for you a short clip of a conversation that I had with Arvind Sai, where Bhagwan, through that interaction, tells us what Ishwaramma truly is, what she means to him, and how much is her love for him.
One interview, one of our brothers who got, they also said that one song they sang, Re Palle Balun Vale, which many of the listeners and Sai devotees will be aware of. After the song, Swami said, exactly in this way, Ishwaramma used to think in opposite interview room door. She used to sit there and she used to think, is this what happened? Is this what happened?
Just like Mother Yashoda used to think.
Exactly, exactly. And in our Burakada too, there is one song which exactly deals with this. It is called Nadanta Bhagyamo Manasa Inta Dodda Sutuni Kanti Telusa. I have the song for sure. Listeners. If you can play that song,
sure.
Then I'll explain the meaning later part of
definitely
after the song.
భాగ్యము మనస ఇంత దొడ్డ సుతుని కంటి తెలుసాయంత భాగ్యము మనస ఇంత దొడ్డ సుతుని కంటి తెలుసా ముక్కోటి దేవతలు ముదముతో కోరగా ముక్కోటి దేవతలు ముదముతో కోరగా కవి గాయకుడు దర్శకుడు నర్తకుడు కవి గాయకుడు దర్శకుడు నర్తకుడు నాయకుడు వేదాంతి నీలి కాంతి నాయకుడు వేదాంతి నీలి కాంతి నాగర్భమున ప్రవేశించిన దేవాదీతుడు నాథుడు నాదంత భాగ్యము మనస ఇంత దొడ్డ సుతుని కంటి తెలుసా కాశీరామేశ్వరములు కనుల ముందే కనబడును కాశీరామేశ్వరములు ముందే కనబడు తిరుపతి శిరిడి ద్వారకాయోధ్య తిరుపతి శిరిడి ద్వారకాయోధ్య పరితికి తరలోచ్చెను పరితికి తరలోచ్చెను ప్రత్యక్ష అవతారుడు పరిపూర్ణ అవతారుడు ప్రేమావతారుడు సత్య సాయీశుడు నా సుతుడు నాదంత భాగ్యము మనస ఇంత దొడ్డ సుతుని కంటి తెలుసా.
Yes, Arvind Sai, please tell us the meaning of this beautiful song.
As Ratanlal aunty said, like every time she is so proud of, you know, he is Pedadevudu, but still he is my son.
Yes.
The line you can see, Premavatarudu Satya Saishudu Nasutudu.
Yes.
He is my son.
My son.
So I'll just give the meaning of the whole song.
Yes.
Like, how lucky am I who have given to birth to such a divine being. Mukkoti devatas are praying for his arrival. And he is the poet, he is the singer, he is the dancer, He is the scholar of scholars, Vedanta scholar. He is Vedanta himself. He has entered into my womb, who is none other than the divine himself. That is the first paragraph. And the next paragraph, this song also written by us, sir, who has seen Ishwaramma Garu. Because he was coming from the year 1960. So after he has seen her, he could actually accumulate few qualities what he has perceived, and he could develop into a song.
Yes, I mean that's really a great blessing. So he didn't have to really imagine, he has actually physically seen mother.
Very true. And then she says, the next paragraph is, it's like, Kashi Rameshwaramulu Kanulamunde Kanapadanu. They are seen in front of me, Kashi and Rameshwaram. Tirupati Shiridi Dwaraka Ayodhya Patti Ki Taralochanu. They are actually coming towards Patti. All these four shrines, all the famous temples of north and south,
they are converging in Patti.
Yeah, they are converging in Patti. He is divine in flesh and blood, full of love. He is Satya Sai and he is my son.
Wow.
It's so beautifully written.
I think, like every mother, she was very possessive of her son.
Very true.
And very difficult to reconcile that, you know, my son has suddenly become, risen to such great heights. And I think every day she was left baffled and bewildered seeing Bhagwan and his glory and his majesty and the devotees coming and, you know, the way his mission was unfolding. But at the same time, unable to let go of Bhagwan, let go of his son.
Very true.
Her son.
Because we can also, from Kasturi sir's life story, we can make out how she was so concerned when Swami went to East Africa.
Yes.
How many times she has told him, but please take care of Swami, please take care of Swami.
Yes.
Like every mother has,
yes,
in the similar way she is.
Concerned about Bhagwan's travels, Bhagwan's food, wherever he went.
Exactly.
Everything,
yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yes, so that was the short excerpt from conversation with Arvind Sai that we had recorded almost a year ago. That was a small excerpt from the live conversation, in fact, that I had with him on Ishwaramma Day in 2014. And yes, we are talking about the concern that the mother had for Bhagwan, and always she was so worried, especially when Bhagwan travelled. Dr. Jayalakshmi Gopinath, who had the opportunity of watching the mother at close quarters for many years, she recalls how Swami's eating habits were always a subject of intense concern for the mother. Dr. Jayalakshmi Gopinath says, I have had the privilege of visiting the little house of Bhagwan in the village and seeing Mother Ishwaramma there. Once Baba constructed the old mandir, the Path Mandiram as it is called now, Swami asked the mother too to come and stay there along with him. And the most wonderful thing, Dr. Jayalakshmi Gopinath says, was that the mother would always be near Swami and would diligently see to it that Swami ate well, because Swami was always a small eater. Swami never bothered about his food. And so, she says, whenever Swami turned to his left or right in the process of a conversation, while eating, the mother would quietly serve some food on his plate and Swami would then look at her mischievously. It was a wonderful sight to see the play between the mother and the son. And Dr. Jayalakshmi Gopinath, who is lovingly called as Jayamma, who served as the warden and the principal of the Anandpur campus of Bhagwan for decades, she says the mother knew it more than others that Swami was God, but at the same time she never forgot that he was her beloved son too. And that is what made this relationship so bewitching. Swami would always talk to her lovingly and at times even tease her, and she would laugh. Those were her moments of happiness. In fact, when Mother Ishwaramma always would bring Swami's food all the way from the village and personally serve it to him. Even when Swami travelled somewhere, the mother would oversee the preparation of the menu for Swami in the host's kitchen. She would always think that maybe Swami will eat a few more spoonfuls if the host served Bhagwan Andhra cuisine or maybe authentic Rayalaseema, the region to which Prashanti belonged, Rayalaseema cuisine. In fact, when Bhagwan was at Jamnagar with the Rajmata, the queen of Navanagar in Gujarat, Madhurishwarama was worried that Swami may not do justice to his food because he is unaccustomed to Gujarati dishes. And so she smuggled herself into the palace kitchen and she prepared a little charu, a soup based on boiled pulses that is so common in Andhra Pradesh. And she thought that maybe Swami will have a little more if there is this charu along with the main dish. So all the time her concern was on her divine son, and it extended to every detail of Bhagwan's life. And as we just discussed, one subject which always troubled the mother was Swami's frequent travel. Swami was giving himself so freely to seekers across India, and she was always apprehensive of Swami leaving Puttaparthi. Even if he went for a day or two to a nearby city, she would be concerned. So imagine what was the mother's worry when 1968 she heard that Swami has planned a trip to East Africa with a group of devotees. She was simply aghast, because at that time the prevailing impression of the African continent was something very, very scary. She found out from others that danger lurked at every step, and there were cannibals there who vied with the wild beasts for the taste of human blood. This is the absolutely horrifying impression that she had got of Africa, and so she was absolutely in distress, and she felt that Swami would be in mortal danger if he went there. So she resolved to have the trip cancelled, and she expressed her reservations to anyone she could. In fact, it frustrated her a good deal when she realized that no one was taking her misgivings seriously. And at one point, she sought out a senior devotee and she conveyed her worst fears to him. And now this devotee said, "Mother, it is true that there are many dangers in Africa, but how can they affect Swami? Swami is God, is he not?" And hearing this, Mother Ishwarama lost her patience, and you know what she said? She just snapped back, "You fool, I know Swami is God, you know he is God, but do those savages and the wild animals in Africa know he is God?" So such was her childish and innocent love for Bhagwan, which many a times deluged her awareness of his divinity. In fact, Dr. Jayalakshmi Gopinath recalled this incident as her father, late Sri Vitthal Rao, had narrated to her, because Sri Vitthal Rao was among the devotees whom the mother had initially sought help from to cancel the trip. And the mother says that how, when once Baba's trip was announced, mother came to Mr. Vitthal Rao and said, "What, Vitthal Rao, what is this that I am hearing? You are all sending Swami to the jungles of Africa. Please do not do this. They say that that place is full of huge elephants, tigers and leopards. It seems that the people there are all very tall and they are menacing like cannibals." "See, our Swami is so small, he's so tiny. Please, he's so delicate, don't allow Swami to go there. You must tell Swami not to go there. How will our Swami manage there? Please, you must beseech Swami not to make this trip." This is how she pleaded with all the devotees. She was almost weeping. And when Swami would hear all this, he would just smile. Swami did go to Africa. It was a grand trip. And the people there revered Swami, and how Swami loved and treated them. It was only to Africa that the mother did not accompany Swami. Otherwise, Swami solicitously took the mother everywhere in his own car. Sometimes, if she was not in Swami's car, she would definitely be in the vehicle that followed Swami's car. That was the innocent love and concern of the mother, which continues. Yes, it continues, and I'll tell you how in a few moments. But before that, let me share with you how for Bhagwan, the mother meant so much. How for Bhagwan, mother was so important, and how he made it clear in unmistakable terms. Brother Arvind Sai shared this on Radio Sai on a previous occasion. Let me play that clip for you.
First thing which comes to my mind about Mother Ishwarama is, in the year 2006, on March 9th, there was a sudden Burakada program wherein we took the card to Swami and asked Swami, can we perform Burakata on Shirdi Baba tomorrow? Mm-hmm. And Swami said, why tomorrow? Today you get ready and come.
Okay.
And then instantaneously we went to hostel, got our costumes. Within half an hour, Swami asked, how much time do you want? We said, Swami, 20 minutes. Swami said, half an hour you go, I'll sit here only in the mandir.
Wow.
And then Swami waited for us. That's the only time where we had only our... other than normal Burakada costume, we had kurta pajama. And we performed.
After so you didn't have that elaborate...
No. There is no costume. Mustache, there is no nothing. There is okay. No gungru, okay. Nothing. Just we put on the Burakada instruments we have taken and we started performing. And after the Burakada, usually Swami spends quite a bit of time with us to... he usually showers his love. He gives very valuable teachings. After Shirdi Baba Burakada, we went to Swami and we asked Swami, how did you like it? Swami said, so wonderful. Everything is wonderful. Then Swami said one very important point, which I remember is, Swami said, tell me your company, I shall tell what you are. And then Swami became emotional. He said, you have praised so much about Devagirama today. Is my mother anything lesser than her? And he started weeping like a small kid.
Oh my God.
At that juncture, our Burakada master, Krishna Bhaskar sir, I don't know what prompted him to say. He just said, Swami, if your grace is there, if your blessing is there, by next year, by this time, on the same day, we will perform Burakada on Mother Ishwarama. And then Swami was so happy, he said, Nanugraham Nashirvadam neke eppudu undi bangaru. And he blessed him profusely. Exactly after 1 year, on March 18th, this happened on March 9th, on March 18th, we could perform Burakata on Mother Ishwarama. Till March 16th, there was no hope for our program actually. You know, as many of the listeners know, that during March, examinations go on.
Yes.
And then Swami always, you know, very particular about students performing well. So during that portion of time, only bhajans go on.
Okay.
And Swami, except for the gratitude programs. But I heard many of the elder devotees telling about, you know, you just go and pray mother. She will take your query or she will take your prayers to Swami. And once she submits to Swami, this is bound to happen. Whatever you wish for. So I thought, okay, I have given all my efforts we have put in. We have tried through vice chancellor, this, that, we tried to give letters. But that one day, March 16th, I just thought, I should surrender myself to mother. And I did 108 pradakshinas to Mother Ishwarama statue in Ishwarama school. Mm-hmm. On March 18th, around 1 o'clock when we were in college, we got a call. Swami is asking you to perform today in Mandir.
Wow.
On Mother Ishwarama. And we went inside and Swami was so happy about the whole thing. He heard the topic. He said, oh, you're doing on my mother. And then Swami said, do very carefully. He said, so many listeners are there, audience, around 20,000 people. Then in a jovial way, he said, make sure that blood doesn't ooze out from their ears. Then we said, Swami, everything by your grace, only you should do. So that's how I remember this Ishwarama story, which has become eternal, which Swami made it eternal. In 2009, I remember, we are preparing for one more story on Swami's life story. There was a big dream, cutting short. I was asking in dream, I was asking many questions. Swami is always telling, no, no, no. I made him hear all the 18 songs which we were planning to put in a Burakatha.
In the dream?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I asked him, Swami, I'm negotiating a date with Swami. Swami, can we perform on this day? This day, Swami, please, Swami, finally is getting over. The last opportunity we'll be getting. Finally, I remembered 2 days before. In the dream itself, I remembered 2 days before, we actually composed 2 lines on Mother Ishwarama's poem.
Mm-hmm.
In the dream, I called Prabhakar, who is the main singer in the Burakatha. I told Prabhakar, Prabhakar, please sing those 2 lines. We'll tell Swami. Swami will be really happy with Mother Ishwaramas. Then somehow, he sang that 2 lines. You won't imagine the amount of happiness Swami has shown after singing these 2 lines. Swami, just immediately then Swami asked me, hey, when is your program? Then I asked Swami, are you trying to teach me this much time you have taken? Around 15 minutes, dream has passed by already.
Mm-hmm.
Swami, is it the chance that you have given me to be at close quarters with you and discuss? Or you are trying to show me that I love my mother so much. How could you forget about it? As soon as I got the topic out, you, like a small child, as though he got... A small child, if he asks for a chocolate, immediately when you can see the beam of joy.
Yes.
Similar way acted Swami. Then Swami said, nothing like that. Many people put programs, many things happen, but how many people give importance to audience? Then Swami said, your program on Ishwarama will happen when if you can satisfy each and every member in the audience, then this program is bound to happen on April 4th. And you won't believe, brother, I got the dream on March 19th of 2009. On April 4th, as Swami said in the dream, the program did happen on that day.
Amazing.
So that's when I understood, like, even when you say divine mother, when you say divine beings, their spirit is so high,
yes,
that if we really pray and aspire for something good, for something better, their blessings, their grace is always there. Every moment we can feel it. So I want to actually make listeners listen to this Padyam which I mentioned.
In the dream what Prabhakar sang.
There are only 2 lines we could tune that time.
Okay.
Later this Padyam, Swami liked it so much. In Kodaikanal, Puttaparthi, many times Swami has asked just repeatedly to sing this Padyam.
So do you have the Padyam?
Yeah, yeah, please. Yeah. I'll just...
Sure.
Ratnakara Vamshapu Rajamata Samataku Mamataku Punadi Vesina Punita Niti Ki Seva Nirati Ki Nilasina Navya Gita Madaru Terisanu Maripinchina Daiva Mata Nidurinchina Bhakti Ki Tolikodi Kuta Mahilamani Lokani Ki Bhagavatita Ninuganda Pudami Talli Ki Sannihita Ratnakar Vamshapu Rajamata.
Wow, so melodious. I mean, it's so beautiful to hear, but I think for the benefit of listeners, you should explain to us also what is conveyed in this Padyam, which I loved so much.
Yeah. Here, the first line, if you see, Ratnakara Vamshapu Rajamata, there are two beings who are very close to Swami, are got into the first line of the Padyam.
Mm.
Ratnakara Vamshapu Rajamata. Rajamata is also a devotee of Swami.
Yes.
So, here it means, you are the Rajamata of Ratnakara family, Mother Ishwarama.
Yes. You are the queen of the Ratnakara.
Yeah. And the next line is, Samataku Mamataku Punadi Vesina Punita. You have laid foundation for equality and compassion. Niti ki, seva nirati ki, nilichina navya gita. She had stood for morality and service, Mother Ishwarama. And her love, the next line is, her love is beyond earthly mother can comprehend.
Wow.
Okay. And the next line is so beautiful. Her actions are wake-up call to the devotees who are in deep slumber.
Her actions are a wake-up call?
Yeah.
Wow.
Nidurinchina bhakti ki toli kodi kuta. Like wake-up call, how a hen gives us.
Yes.
In similar way, her action is a wake-up call for all the devotees.
She is that exemplary personality.
Exactly.
Which makes us question ourselves, do we truly love Swami? Are we on the path that Swami Bhagwan wants us to be?
Very true. And the next line is, her life itself is like Bhagavad Gita for women.
Wow.
For women to follow, her life is like Bhagavad Gita. Ninu kanna pudami talli ki sannihita. You are closest of close to Mother Earth who has given you birth. So this is how the poem goes.
My God.
No wonder Swami liked it so much.
Yes.
So that is Arvind Sai again sharing with us how much Swami was always emotional and joyous whenever there was adoration of the mother. And it is because of the way mother not only loved Swami, but also the way she shared Bhagwan's love with everyone. It is said in those times, if anyone had a problem, those were the days when anyone who came to Prashantinilayam would get an interview, 1940s, 1950s, 60s. And if by any chance, if a particular devotee did not get an interview, there was one sure shot way of getting that blessing from Bhagwan. All he or she had to do is go to the mother, and the mother would start inquiring, from where did you come? What are you doing? And then eventually she will ask, did you get to talk to Swami? And if the person says no, then immediately the reaction of the mother would be, ah, you didn't get. Swami has not spoken to you. He is not qualified for interview. And she would do something. Next day, that person would get interview with Bhagwan. In fact, in one instance, there was a couple from West Godavari who had come with a terribly sick child, and they had waited in Puttaparthi for a week. Due to financial constraints, they were not in a position to extend their stay, and they were able to leave crestfallen. As a last resort, they met Mother Ishwarama, and when the mother heard their plight, she took that boy by his hand and immediately led him upstairs to Swami's room, and he pleaded with Swami to cure the child. And Swami actually gave her a patient hearing, and then Swami calmly said, Chustanu, I will see. But she was not satisfied. She insisted, Swami, you have to show mercy on this poor family. And you know what? Swami finally gave in to her prayers and healed the child. As I said, a mother's prayers never go unfulfilled, and think of a mother like Ishwarama. And this continues even now. Why do I say this? Listen to Arvind Sai again.
About her mother's selflessness.
Yes.
Because I said in initial starting that I prayed for the Burakatha to happen. After this Burakatha, first time when we performed Ishwaramas, usually I said that Swami, you talk to us for around 15-20 minutes and satisfy you completely. But this, after this one Burakatha in 2007, for the first time, he was very reluctant to give even Pad Namaskar.
Oh, you finished the Burakatha and he didn't
talk to you? After Burakatha, immediately he went to interview room. He came after 20 minutes. He said bhajans. After that, we are just pushing ourselves towards Swami to get Pad Namaskar. Swami was so reluctant. He said, just sit down. Don't come.
Very unusual.
Very, very unusual. And you know, sir is an old devotee. So he was actually jotting down what went wrong, where went wrong, why Swami is displeased. Appearingly Swami looks not happy.
You made mistake, you made mistake, you made, you didn't sing well, you didn't tell dialogue well. So I was like, oh my God, Swami, what we wanted to do is to offer the story to you so that the world knows about Mother Ishwarama. What we have done is she has given an opportunity and we could offer it to your feet. Now what Swami, what wrong did we do? Please show us the way. And again on 19th, nothing happened. After 19th darshan, I came back to hostel. Went again to Ishwarama statue in the Ishwarama school and did 108.
Mm-hmm.
And next day is Ugadi. And I went to Mandir very early in the morning. There was supposed to be a drama on Shirdi Baba. I was doing Pradakshina to Ganesha. Suddenly, one of the Swami's caretakers come out and say, Swami asked three of you to sit in front today. And Swami made it very particular. Three of you sit in the first line. Swami want to talk to you.
Awesome.
It was a shock for me. And I went and we three of us sat in the front and Swami gave a discourse. In the mid, towards the end of the discourse, 2007, 20th March, yeah. Towards the end of the discourse, what is my dialogue and my co-partner's dialogue? Swami actually said the same dialogues. How we compared Mother Ishwarama to Yashoda, how Subbamma to Devaki Amma,
yeah.
To Subbamma. Like those dialogues, print Swami actually could narrate. And at the end, Swami felicitated us. And then we understood, like when you pray to Mother sincerely and without selfishness, it is not for my sake. I just thought, Sir is an old devotee.
Yes.
Sir should not be displeased at the end of the thing because he has some concerns. If you really hurt Swami, Swami would have felt, but that's why Swami didn't give you because he's seen Swami for the past 30 years.
Yes.
But at the end, again, Swami has profusely blessed him. Completely suffused him with love.
Wow.
And then he sent him.
So Mother came to the rescue once again.
Yeah. Because she is so selfless. Because I, reading her literature, I found that whenever devotees came from visitors or devotees who had come, first thing she would ask is, did you have food? Are you comfortable? Do you have good accommodation? And then she says, see, Swami is coming. Utilize this opportunity. Don't indulge yourself in unnecessary talk.
Uh-huh.
Do not waste time.
Oh, okay.
And then she used to tell, at what this point you got this opportunity to utilize it. Utilize it to its fullest. And her selflessness, if you want to really observe, it can be observed in summer courses in Vrindavan. There are people from across the world who used to participate summer course, but she used to have so much of concern for all these delegates and the students that they should get good food. They should be taken care fully by Swami properly.
I think those days summer course was an elaborate affair.
It's a 1 month affair.
Right.
And she used to be so concerned about them. And can you believe it? Swami has dedicated Balvikas on her name.
Correct. Ishwarama Day is a Balika.
Right? Yeah, on like 6th May 1983, in the discourse I came across, that Swami says, this day is dedicated to Balvikas because of her noble intentions toward making a child a better child.
Yes.
So,
wow.
I have a clip actually, Swami telling about the selflessness of Mother Ishwarama.
Okay, sure.
I will play for
let us hear that.
Yeah.
You see, after the bhajan, that the whole world should be happy. But when the whole world has to be happy, why shouldn't we give happiness to the world? So many people are coming. And she said, you have got to give them all happiness, Swami. I took her to Bangalore. We started the summer course. And all students from all over the world, they came. It was not only our college. The children of all the colleges also
could
come. So they were having classes, and in the evening, we would tell them such good things. She would smile with joy.
When I stooped to take my food, I would ask her, are you happy
now?
Swami, what more joy
should I have?
When so many people in the world are procuring such happiness, she had a heart which was large and expansive. Today we are very, very small. A small heart. Only our children should, be happy. She was not the one who had such a... She never had such a
narrow
mind. If everybody is happy only, we can live in this
village.
Even if she had no education, she would always tell such wonderful, valuable things. Because mothers like her were there from time immemorial. So India gained such tremendous reputation.
So that is the golden heart that the mother has. When we were speaking to Mrs. Vijayamma, the author of the book Anyatha Sharanam Nasti, she was narrating, she is again someone who has seen the mother at very close quarters, and she was narrating how for the mother, Swami was her pancha pranas, Swami was her five life breaths, and how she was always so much of compassion. Anyone's pain was her pain. If someone doesn't have money, someone doesn't need a sari, she was the one who would go to Swami and tell, Swami, please do this. Swami, please give her this. Swami, they have this problem. Swami, please do this for them. Swami, please do that for that family. She was always busy doing only this. And she was always there to the rescue of the devotees. In fact, there is one occasion where Vijayamma Garu shares how during one Dasara, these are the very early times when there was no Sevadal, and Swami had given the chance to do service to 10 devotees, and their job was to maintain the crowd in the auditorium. So there were hundreds who had gathered, and Vijayamma Garu says that they had this duty to control the crowd, and there were a few, four or five old people who were trying to come and sit in the front, and she could not allow them because that place was reserved for some distinguished elders. And so she told these old people that please go that side and sit behind. You cannot sit there. And she was trying to ensure that the place is not chaotic. And she was trying to bring in some order, and just then Swami comes from behind and Swami says, oh, why are you sending these old people away? Allow them to sit. Allow them to sit here. And when Swami himself said that, she didn't know what to do, because it was Bhagwan who had given her those instructions to maintain crowd control, and now he himself comes and says, allow the people. And now these old people said, who are you to stop us? Swami himself is telling us to go. And so they just did not listen to her, and they went and sat. And it's not only then, a big group of old people went and sat in the front. And in after Bhagwan's discourse and everything was over, Swami came to Vijayamma Garu and said, what is this? How can you allow all these old people to sit in the front? They're all sleeping, somebody is dozing, nobody is attentive, they have all problems. How do you expect me to give a talk when everybody in front of me is sleeping and dozing, is uninterested? And Vijayamma Garu did not know what to tell Swami. She cannot obviously tell Swami, it is you who created the situation. And it is at this point that Mother Ishwaramma came in and said, Swami, it is you only who asked all these old people to sit there. Swami said, is it? Oh, 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 oh. And he went away. And then Mother Ishwaramma told Vijayamma Garu, you know this Swami, no, you are not a new devotee, right? You have been coming for many years. You are a seasoned one. You know how Swami likes to put people in dilemmas and play with them. You know how playful he is. Don't feel sad. That is the mischievous Swami. That is how he loved to test. That was his taste, as Bhagwan says. and Mother Isharama was always there to by the side of his devotees, to be with them, to be their source of strength. And the mother continues even now. Yes. Brother Satyajit, who has had the chance to serve Swami, living with him as his servitor for the last 13-14 years of his earthly sojourn, once shared a very poignant incident that clearly shows how not only is the Lord, but his mother too is eternal. When we look at the principle of motherhood in Bhagwan, we saw that demonstration in all his facets, even the love that Bhagwan had for his own mother,
yes.
Isharama.
Yes.
And he showed us how we should love our mother. By he himself, even though, he is the divine one, he is the primordial one, but since he had a physical being through him, through which he came, he had that same respect only to show us.
Yes.
And perhaps you probably would have seen that love that Swami had for Mother Isharama.
Yes, brother. I mean, see, we could see the warmth in Swami's voice, the moistening of his eyes when he used to speak about Mother Isharama. And once in a while narrating some incident about Mother Isharama, there would be that impish smile on his face. He would become a child, reminiscing how he had teased his mother, how he would laugh at her fears when she was terrified that Swami would be going to the Africa. Right? So how he would laugh at her fears. So these reminiscences of Bhagwan, that would bring a beautiful smile on his face, you remember, towards the last quite a few years, in 2004 or 2005, Swami started coming back on Isharama Day here to Parthi.
Yes.
In that hot summer,
yes.
To ensure that he would come. Even there are times where he had come just for a couple of days.
He would cut short the Kodai trip,
and so now Isharama Day, I have to go back, kind of a thing. He would, to pay respects to the mother. That was an aspect that he always demonstrated. Yes, and see, the mother's love is so intense, and he. It was a shocking and a mind-blowing experience for me when, in 2008, we came back from Vrindavan. I remember it being a very, very, very hot afternoon. It was sometime in early June 2008. That was the last visit to Vrindavan, and we came back. And, Swami said that I won't go for darshan. I won't tell them to give aarti. I won't go for bhajans. And Swami lay down. It was a very bright, sunny afternoon. From the western windows, the sunlight was seeping in very, very brightly. And I was sweating like anything. That image is so, so intense. So Swami lay down on his bed, and I put my mat on the floor, and I also lay down. It was around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, very bright sunshine. And as soon as I lay down on the bed, I was so tired that I dozed off. And within that 5 minutes of sleep that I got, 5 to 7 minutes that I slept, I had a very intense dream of Mother Isharama standing at the same place. In the dream, I am seeing that Swami is lying on his bed. I am lying down on the floor on my mat here. It's the afternoon sun streaming in from the window. Mother Isharama standing at the feet of Swami and talking to Swami.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very intense dream, and I opened my eyes. And I was, savoring that dream and enjoying it. And I just wanted to see what is Swami doing. I looked up, turned my head very lazily and looked up, and I saw Swami looking straight at me.
Oh.
And I did namaskar. I did, my hands automatically went in the namaskar posture. And Swami told, Chusava, 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 thrice. Did you see?
Oh my God.
I jumped out of the bed. I'm telling you, brother, I jumped out of bed, and I told Swami, Amma Darshanam Ayindi, Swami. Swami, I had Amma's Darshan. Are they Adukthunan Ras? That's what I'm asking you. Did you see?
Wow.
And you know, see, you are spellbound. You cannot. I have stopped analyzing it because to me it looks like a dream. And here is Bhagavan talking to me and asking, and then he to make it make sure that you know you that is etched in the memory forever. Swami told that Swami narrated the entire conversation that I had heard in my dream. He told that this is what she was asking and this is what I was telling. All this whole conversation. He described the sari that pacha chira pacha rava ki veskon vachindi.
That sari the mother was wearing, Swami described.
Yes.
Wow.
And you know, there's a beautiful play of words here. The word pacha has got two meanings in Telugu. So when Swami said pacha chira pacha rava ki veskon vachindi, I told Swami, yellow sari, green blouse, Swami. Adera pacha ante aku pacha. Pasup pacha untaru. They're like aku pacha is the pacha of the leaf and the pacha of the turmeric. Mm-hmm. That pacha is a word that is used for describing both. Aku pacha, pasup pacha, the two colors in Telugu are conveyed that way. So Swami, mother was wearing the green blouse and the yellow sari. You know, and Swami described exactly that this thing. So this is the play of things that Swami does to ensure. And then Swami says that Vasta untundra, she keeps coming. Where can she go? Ichipetti ekkada velthundi. How can she go leaving me? And when I look at that, that is the greatest solace for me. You know, that dream in 2008 is Swami's gift. Swami's one of the most important sources of strength for me, because when I correlate that and think that when Mother Ishwaramma, you know, could not leave her son and go, how can Swami, our yes. mother, million mothers leave and go. So he is, you know, that the presence of Bhagwan. It is only, you know, the need to feel that oneness with him. That, you know, and that he is accessible to each one of us. You know, it's only the deepest recesses of our hearts. We have to open it up to him. And, you know, ensure that we are able to reach out to him. And it's a very, very beautiful lesson that, you know, Swami has left behind for us.
Amazing.
Isn't that profound? Bhagwan himself saying, where will she go? Itchipetti. Ekkada potundi. Where will she go leaving me? Mother Ishwaramma cannot go. Mother Ishwaramma is always there where Bhagwan is. And when, as Brother Satyajit said, when Ishwaramma herself cannot go, can Swami go? Swami is always, always with us, and he is there eagerly waiting to enter our lives, just like he entered Mother Ishwaramma, Pravesha. He has entered into each one of our lives, and he is waiting so that we blossom, and he is always there. In some ways, all our lives are lives like that of Mother Ishwaramma. Because just like he entered her being and then transformed her from an ordinary human being to an extraordinary messenger, transformer, and a saint par excellence. That is what he is doing with each one of us. He has entered all our lives, and now he is chiseling us bit by bit, cutting our attachments, sobering our tendencies, sublimating our attitudes, and purifying our habits, and thus sanctifying our life. That is why reading about the life of such exalted souls always uplifts us. And that is why we should never miss an opportunity to pay our respects. And how do we pay our respects? We pay our respects by living a life that they exemplified. As we prepare to observe Ishwaramma Day, let us also prepare internally to make this journey, to make our lives extraordinary. We are touched by the divine. We cannot be ordinary. With deep prayers to Bhagwan and heartfelt gratitude for having given us this opportunity of offering this program. In fact, the whole day's program, in fact, everything that we do on Radio Sai. I take leave on this beautiful Thursday. Thank you so much for being with us throughout the day. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. The time in the studios now is 9:43. And in a few minutes from now, you will listen to a drama presented by the Sai Youth of Orissa on 26th August 2010. It's entitled, A Flood of Love. That will begin at 9:50. So keep listening. Keep sharing. If you have any queries or suggestions, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much for your encouraging comments, for your feedback. And thank you so much for your love. Good night. Loving Sai Ram from Prashant Nilayam.
When we look at the principle